to John chapter 14, 8 through 17. John 14, 8 through 17. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you." And then in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, there were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So it's Pentecost. You know, I was really excited when Pastor Dick said he had to travel for Pentecost. It's really a very humbling time in the church community to come together and worship. Pentecost is truly my favorite Christian holiday. And I think it's the history and the story wrapped up with the way we live our lives today that makes this such a profound event. You know, it's often called the birthday of the church. There's some songs. I think my kids sing some of these songs when they were little. about Pentecost being the birthday of the church, and that's in fact what exactly it was. But let me give you a little bit of context as to what's going on. So, you know, Jesus has been crucified, right, resurrected. We celebrated Easter. And then for 40 days, he was kind of showing up here and there. And the things that Jesus was doing when he was showing up, there was a couple of things he was doing. He was proving to the people that he was still alive. And the second thing he was doing was he was explaining the reality of the kingdom. So for 40 days, we have these stories, these flashes of Jesus showing up. Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. Do you know how long 10 days can be? You have disciples. They've seen the resurrected Christ. They're all together. All right. It's been over a week. What are we supposed to do? Well, Jesus had left them with what they were supposed to do. He said, stay together. Stay in Jerusalem. And I'm going to pour out my spirit upon you. And so they were waiting. And they were waiting. And they were all gathered together in the upper room. And all of a sudden, right, we have this vision of flames. The Holy Spirit descending. Have you ever wondered why we put candles on a birthday cake? You get these flames. This is the birthday of the church. The people are empowered with the presence of the Holy Spirit filling up their lives. And they have this spontaneous response where there's folks that think, I think they're drunk. That's it. They've all lost it. Right? I love that line. Oh, it's only the third hour of the day. No, if it was later, we could say that. But right now, it's the third hour of the day. These people are not drunk. And besides, look who can hear them. You ever had conversations with folks that say, well, if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit? I see a few head bobs. No. Just no. Not true. And I'll tell you why. There is something very specific and very amazing that is going on here. And it's right there in the text. Who was in the community at the time? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia. You have all of these people together, and they are all there. And the Holy Spirit comes upon this little tiny fledgling church. The need at the moment was to have spontaneous linguists, right? That was the need at the moment when the Holy Spirit showed up. How do we communicate this power and this love and this authority that God has over our lives to people who can't understand us? So at that moment, God said, here you go. Go for it. There's something else going on here that is also, I forgot my watch today, by the way, so y'all are just, there's something else here that's beautiful that happens. If you remember back to the Old Testament, and we have this story of the Tower of Babel, do you remember that? The people in the Old Testament, when they were building that Tower of Babel, in their arrogance, they were trying to climb up to heaven. And God said no, and he confused their language so that no one could understand each other. And he said no because God said, in my humility, I'm going to descend to earth. Your arrogance is not going to fix the problem. My humility will. And when God does that and he descends to earth in this huge, humble act that cracks the foundations of everything. And the curtains are rent in the temple. In that huge, amazing, humble act, the curse of Babel gets reversed. That's what this was. This was God saying, I know you wanted to reach up to me. I know you wanted to get to heaven, but your hearts aren't right. And let me show you what it looks like for me to come to you. That is a beautiful, beautiful image of what is happening here. Important for our faith, foundational in our understanding. But how does this affect us now? What about now? See, I might get Pentecostal on y'all today. It could happen. I fully believe that the Holy Spirit is active and working and doing amazing things in the church today. Amen. I got an amen. I think God just got an amen. Amen. Why? We see the activity. We read the stories. But have you personally ever felt like the Holy Spirit is not here with you now? Have you ever had that feeling? That's a hard feeling. It's rough. I'm not going to lay a trip on you, by the way. This is not God's judgment against you as an individual. I think our churches and as individual Christians here today, we are seeking the Holy Spirit. I've talked to people, lots of people, who are praying and seeking for the Holy Spirit, and they want that powerful presence in their lives. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. And I think this is probably the key to understanding most of the Christian faith. The Holy Spirit comes and resides in us to gift us for the people around us, not for ourselves. When the Holy Spirit showed up to this little fledgling church, he did not gift them with the ability to speak in tongues because they all wanted to go off and have great careers. He gifted them with the ability to speak in tongues so that the people around them could be blessed. See, as a church, we seek to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. If we seek to be blessed because we want a blessing, God's saying, you're missing the point. I will wait for you, I will wait for you, I will wait for you, but as soon as you allow me to use you to bless others, then you're going to be blessed by the others around you. Have you seen blessing in your life like that? Does anyone have a memory, a thought of extreme blessing in your life from other members of the church? And the thing is there are people that you bless that you don't even realize that you are blessing. This is the way the Christian faith works. This is the point of Pentecost. This is the power of the presence of a holy God living through his body. And we do this in different ways. You know, we do mission trips. Mission trips are important. You know, it gets us out of our comfort zone. It helps us see the world that God has created, see the value in the human beings that maybe aren't like us. That's important. But that's not where we live. We live here. While those events can be milestones in our life that can help us realize that God is powerful and does amazing things, we need to look for the amazing and the common. It's the simple, common acts. I think I've said this before here. It's the simple, common, everyday actions that build the church of God. If it was just the profound big things, we would have a very stilted understanding of what it means to be a Christian. And not everyone would be able to do it. But this is a faith for everyone. You know, serving churches down in Florida, it would not be uncommon to have a church where your average age was 80. And a lot of people felt like, I can't do anything anymore. So now I don't have any worth. If you are lucky enough to live to 80, you have seen things in your life You have seen the action and the power of God, and you understand the power of prayer. You understand the power of a life that is subtly lived out, a faith that is transformative because of the daily interactions with the movement of the Holy Spirit. And this is where, as Christians today, we are not sitting here seeing flames come down. We don't have that option today. But we do have eyes that Christ gives us to see the way that he walks with us, the way that the Holy Spirit initiates conversations with people. And if we get up in the morning and we pray, I want to have a Spirit-led day, and then we listen for what that means, and then we relax, right? So we overthink this stuff. Here, I mean, everyone got excited, filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They weren't worried about the consequences. They were just living because the God of life has filled them up with the presence. So in our daily walk with God, as we get up in the morning, as we walk through our day, when we have to do our chores and we have to clean our bathrooms, right? We have to mop the floor. We're human beings. We live. We mow the grass. How is it that the Holy Spirit can transform each individual, everyday, boring moment? And I think that happens through transparency. I think oftentimes we are so guarded with who we are and what our struggles are, those things that make us human. We don't want people to see the human side of us, right? We'd rather not. But we can become so guarded that we don't allow people in to see the way the Holy Spirit has done amazing things in our lives. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit enters our lives when we're a mess. Do you want to show everyone your mess? Not so much. But that is what transforms people. That is what changes hearts. That is what empowers us to look around and recognize the need of the people around us. And when we see that need, because we've understood ourselves in that same spot, we can meet that need through love. There's always a danger anytime you're interacting with anybody to come across as arrogant, right? If you see a need and you want to meet that need, you don't want to meet it in arrogance, you want to meet it in love. This is the work and the activity of the Holy Spirit. And it's beautiful when God says, you know what? Do this. And you think that's ridiculous. Go say hi to this neighbor of yours. You haven't talked to them in a while. Sometimes those little obediences are what paves the streets of heaven. You know, I couldn't go to the Puerto Rico trip. None of my kids went. It's okay. That's all right. Can we look at hurt and recognize it? Can we see the kid that fell off the bike and say, here, let me help you? Everyone's so worried about a lawsuit nowadays. You know, you don't want to touch anyone else's kid. Can you find it in yourself to drop the blinders so that the Holy Spirit can do the activity that the Holy Spirit is here to do? Because, see, Christ said, you will do greater things than these. You realize what Christ did, don't you? I mean, has it really sunk in? That bit of scripture is the most powerful thing I believe I have ever processed through. We hear it all the time, but process through it. What exactly did Christ do? He undid the powers of death He healed people. You will do greater things than these. That ought to be humbling, by the way. That ought to be profoundly and deeply humbling. But we won't do them if we're not tuned in. This is where the church is really, really, really important. You know, if you feel like God is calling you to something specifically large, you need the church. You need your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because if one person is called to it, other people will be able to say, yes, that is true for you. We need that. And it's beautiful. One time in 20 years of church work, one time we have seen a church, every single person in the church, every single person looked around and said, we need to do this particular ministry. And then they said, wow, this is going to cost our church a lot of money. The church still has no clue how much it costs, because anytime anything was needed, someone just volunteered to run down and get it. We have no idea. It could have been $10,000. It could have been $45,000. No clue. No one knows. It was the entire church going, wow, I think God is calling us to this ministry. By the way, if that ever happens to you, go ahead and assume it's going to be very difficult. That's the way God works. This is why I love the story of Mother Teresa so much. You know, she was married with children, and she lost her husband and her children in a tragic accident. And she heard God speak to her very clearly after this happened, which is how she ended up caring for the poor in Calcutta. She never heard God again. She had to rely on that event and look at what her life did by simple obedience. Just obedience. Obedience to this Holy Spirit who loves us, who knows what's best for us, who has undone the fall, who has undone the curse of Babel, who has broken down barriers, and then who has said, go and do greater things than I. I had a neighbor who lived down the street when I was, in high school, I suppose, and she was often outside working in her yard, cutting. She had lots of mint, I remember that. But she was always just doing yard work. At the time, I thought she was very old. She was not young. I mean, she was probably in her mid-70s. But I thought she was quite old. And she was out doing yard work. And one time I stopped and we were talking. And she invited me in for tea. And we were sitting on her back porch. And she said this to me. She said, always stay in shape. Oh, I'd been out running. That's why she stopped me. Always stay in shape. Always work, because you never know at what point in your life God is going to call you to do something, and you would hate to say, you know what, God, I can't. That's kind of always stuck with me, you know? But I think it means more than just physical ability, right? We're talking about spiritual shape here, prayerful spiritual shape, reading your scriptures, praying, being quiet. We talk a lot to God, right? Sometimes God wants us to listen. So go ahead and talk, but then quiet and be still. Sometimes that's harder in some households than others. I will say, there are times where I just don't get out of bed in the morning, and people can assume I'm asleep. Sometimes you need to carve out that time to where you can be quiet and still, and you can hear that still, small voice that will get louder and louder and louder in your soul, and you know that you know that you know that the God who created the universe is speaking to you and telling you how to live your day, how to live your hour, how to live your minute. This is the beauty of a loving God who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You get these stories from people who have lived lives that you just stand back and you say, wow, how did they live through that? How did they live their life? I took a science class from a man who had been a prisoner of war in Vietnam. And he was at my local community college when I was in high school. Mr. Key, I'll never forget him. The most peaceful person I had ever been around. Because they had him in solitary confinement. And you know, when you're alone, you find out you're not alone. And now you have this powerful presence of the Holy Spirit that brings comfort and peace. One of the neatest men I've ever met. He was quiet, too. I think often because he was busy communing with God. This is how God wants to spend his time with us. You know, I think God enjoys going grocery shopping. You know, maybe not Walmart, but Dillon's is pretty nice. You know, I think God likes the mundane because that's where the exciting happens. It's in the mundane. And then you're living a day and you realize at some point here, God has hijacked my day. And you know what? I think I would like him to hijack my life. And then all of a sudden you end up in Kansas and it's like, what just happened? I think these are the sorts of, that was for you specifically. You're welcome. I think these are the sorts of things we need to talk about and we need to get excited about. I know individuals talk about this. Do we talk about this in community a lot? I don't know. I don't know if we do or not. But let's start. You know, we serve a living, breathing God. You ever heard the phrase, my God has a belly button? We serve a living, breathing God who has a physical body, who is sitting down on the throne in heaven, who has sent the Holy Spirit. We won't get into Trinitarian theology today. Who has sent the Holy Spirit to fill us up so that we can transform the world. And just to throw in a little bit of fun, because I've got a couple of minutes. Just to throw in a little bit of fun. You know how we talk about the streets being paved with gold in heaven? Have you seen the new stuff coming out from NASA? The heavens, the space above us, is paved with gold. Isn't that fun? There is so much richness that the Holy Spirit is trying to pour into our lives and pour into our lives. And if we're like this, we miss half of it. We're going to get some of it. God's persistent. And if you're a Christian, he's going to get some of it into you. But we have so much more to receive. He has so much more to give. This is an infinite God. When you feel like you have learned how to love as much as you could possibly learn how to love, God says, hang on. And then when you feel like you have learned to love as much as you could possibly love, I think God might laugh. Because the love of God is infinite, and he pours that into us so that we can pour it into the people around us infinitely. I think it's funny, you hear terms like clergy burnout. I'm not going to judge clergy. Or you talk about compassion fatigue. Have you heard that term, compassion fatigue? I think this is maybe a little hint, kind of like if you have a stomach ache and it's kind of a hint that maybe you ate something you shouldn't have. I think this is God saying, my Holy Spirit is here to love and show compassion if you would allow me to use you. But it's hard. And we have to rid ourselves of the arrogance of Babel. And that's the key. if we can rid ourselves of the arrogance of Babel. God, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to work my way up to receive this grace that you're trying to give. And God is saying, get down there. Stop it. Because I'm going to come to you in humility. And I'm going to show you what it really means to be one of mine. What it really means to be broken. What it really means to love with the heart that God loves with. I will not claim to have arrived. But I've seen people, man, I've seen people where you look in their eyes and the Holy Spirit is there. Have you seen people like that? There's always a few around. And you think, my goodness. And if you talk to them, if you get into a conversation, you're going to find this interesting thing about them. They're generally unburdened. They're generally unburdened. They might have a difficult life. In fact, they often have a difficult life. But having a difficult life and feeling burdened are two different things. They are generally unburdened. They are generally untethered. And the Spirit flows freely. This is the gift of Pentecost. I think we might still be stuck in Babel. I think it is so easy to say, but God, I know what I'm supposed to do, so let me just do that. I know where you are. You're in Scripture. Let me just do that. I'm not saying don't read your Scripture. I'm saying don't lay a trip on yourself about reading your Scripture. If you only read two verses one day, okay. If you read five chapters, okay. I won't say that Steve might read a little bit more than I do. We ought not to lay a trip on ourselves or others. We just ought not. The Holy Spirit has so much grace and so much love and so much power and so much ability to heal and transform that if we would stop trying to build our own personal Babels and we sit back and we say, come Lord Jesus, then he comes. Because the humility of God recognizes the human attempt at humility. And he comes and he lifts us up, and the people around us are the ones that are blessed. Amen. Let us move into a time of prayer. Are there any specific joys and concerns? I've got the Puerto Rico trip and the Dick and Havana traveling. Concerns first. Any concerns? What about joys? Meryl, can I mention? We are very, very, very blessed to have Meryl here. Some of you knew he was sick and in the hospital. And we thought it was heart. Yeah, wasn't. Meryl's lucky to be here, which makes us blessed. Any other joys? You guys aren't joyous? I have my sister in town. She's really shy. This is like little sister get backs for all those years because I'm younger than her. So my sister's here with her two of her kids. She has five, but her two daughters are here with her. They flew in from Florida, so that's a joy. And we get to keep them through Wednesday, so we're going to have some fun. Any other joys? Yes. New great-granddaughter. That's exciting. What is her name? Oh, my. Isabella. Sweet. Okay. Any other joys? No. Let us go ahead and... What? Yes. Oh, yes, Benita. Yes, it is. We are very happy to see Arlene here today. Happy birthday. 94. Man, he ratted out your age and everything. Ninety-four, Maxine. That's amazing. That's great. Okay. Any other? I'm having to stand. You know, this is. I'm having to stand on my tiptoes back here, just so y'all know. Any other joys? All right. Let us go ahead and pray. Almighty God. We come here humbled by your majesty, your beauty, your love for us. God, we thank you for all the ways that you have blessed us this week. We ask that you would be with the travelers headed to Puerto Rico. That this trip would not only help the people in Puerto Rico, but would also show your power and your love. We also ask that you would be with Dick and Ivana as they travel to be with family. We thank you for the birth of a new great-granddaughter. We ask that you would work in that little baby's life, that you would grow her up strong and healthy. God, we ask your blessing on Maxine. We thank you for the life that she has. We thank you for her joyful spirit. And we look forward to another year with her. God, we thank you that Arlene is able to be here with us today and that my family got here safe. We ask that you would bless each and every one of us so that we may be a blessing for you. God, enter our thoughts and our hearts this week. Help us be sensitive and responsive. And let us all say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May you go in the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to live and work for him. Amen. Please stand for our final hymn.